And just say this up front, there's no reason today, other than our own willful resistance of the work of the Holy Spirit, while anyone should walk out the door of this church today, outside of having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth has been proclaimed in song already, in the reading of Scripture. There is no one in this place that's outside the reach of God's love and mercy today. Amen? No one. Nothing you've done, nothing from your past, nothing that sets you so far out that God can't reach you. The only thing that will keep you there will be your willful resistance of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, drawing you to the truth of the gospel. The fact that Jesus Christ, as we celebrated on Easter, died but then rose again. The perfect sacrifice was given, it was laid in a tomb, and then it was accepted and resurrection was granted to him. And by putting our faith and trust in that, we can have eternal life. So I want to say that's what we're going to be looking at as we gather around this table this morning, what we're going to be remembering. We're going to be in, if you've got your scripture, your Bible with you this morning, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's on page 933 in my Bible, if that helps you out. But as I've looked through at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then also here in 1 Corinthians 11, we have instruction on the Lord's Supper and all those places. And there's two things that we're called to do when it comes to the Lord's Supper. And we're going to, both of those things this morning, we're going to do. The first thing is this, and this will be the bulk of where we're at, is we're told to remember. Do this in remembrance. That's what's on the front of our table down here. But we're also told in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to examine ourselves and make sure that we take this in a worthy manner. And so we're going to do both of those things this morning. All right? And so simply this morning is this, is what I want to share with us from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth who had some things really, really messed up. They had sin, which he says wouldn't even be named outside the church, going on inside the church. And then here as we get to chapter 11, he's dealing with some error they have surrounding the Lord's Supper. And they've created it into something that it wasn't intended to be. This is just some free information for you. They would observe the Lord's Supper, but they would also observe a fellowship meal at the time they broke bread. They had the elements and they remembered those things, but they would have a fellowship meal they called the agape. But it had become very divisive in the church because it was a potluck. Right? We know that. Except here, like we bring a potluck and you put it down, everybody goes through and gets what they want. You basically brought your own. And so those that were rich would get there early and hurry up and eat theirs. And they would eat to excess and drink to excess. And those that were poorer in the church would arrive and have nothing. And so there was this division in the church. There was factions and there was no brotherly love. There was no compassion. And all these things. And so the Apostle Paul in chapter 11, starting in verse 23 is where we're going to be. We're going to just go look at verse 23 to 26 this morning. He writes this, and in fact, as he starts out, he says, I received this from the Lord, because we know the Apostle Paul was not one of the disciples who was not there with the Lord Jesus Christ at the upper room, where you see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, those are accounted when he took and broke the bread. But he says that I received this directly from the Lord, and guess what? It matches up with what the other said. Of course, he was familiar with the oral tradition of the Synoptic Gospels and those things, but he says here in verse 23, look at it, it says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance for me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so we're told to remember. So this morning, I want to share three simple things with us, because that's what a good Baptist does. They have three points to their sermon, and they all start with the same letter today. That usually doesn't happen for me, so But this, and I want us to look at this. What is it do we need that we need to remember this morning? As we come to this table, as we surround this table, we're told, as he says, do this in remembrance of me. What is it that we need to remember? All right? And simple things I'm going to give you, and they're going to be very simple, but it's what this table brings us back to each time. And every time, we do it about 2 months, every 2 months or so here at Lane Prairie. And I'll say this up front, we practice open communion here, which basically means if you are a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are invited to partake in this. I'll give you some good news up front. We've got two young ladies here this morning who before Sunday school time would not have been able to partake of this, but after they sat down and visited with Brother Justin, they're going to be able to partake of this table because they've trusted for the first time in their life their Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So if you're here today and you say, well, I've never come to that point, what I would simply ask is you just listen to what we say, contemplate the words that are said, and just observe. And then we will have a time for response after. But three simple things, three basic things, but this table brings us back to them every single time. What is it that we need to remember? And the first I'll say this is the reason. The reason that we gather at this table. And it's simple. It's sin. Every single one of us in this building, every single one of us that's in Joshua, Texas, every single one of us in Johnson County, in the state of Texas, United States, every single person on this planet that has ever been or ever will be apart from the Lord Jesus Christ is a sinner. So, here we go. Quick pop test. Raise your hand if you're a sinner. Look. Every single one of us has inherited a sinful nature and willfully chooses sin. As apart from obedience to the commands of God, all right? I don't just say that because Ricky says that. I want to give you some scripture. And so basically what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to give you the three things we need to remember, and then I'm going to give you some scripture to go along with that, and then I'm going to give us a time that we can reflect upon ourselves before we come to this and make sure we take it in a worthy manner. Fair enough? Giving you the whole sermon up front. But the reason is sin. Is outright defiance. Literally that word, and if you've grown up in church, you've heard it your whole life, the very literal meaning of that is to miss the mark. It's the picture of an archer drawing back his bow, taking aim at the target, and then just completely missing. That's what sin is. God sets up his holy standard, and then our lives come, and we draw back, and we just blow it. We fall flat on our face. God says, I want you to do this, and we do the exact opposite. That's sin. Romans 5:12 says this. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all man because all sinned. And obviously, that's a reference back to Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve. Not just Eve, Adam and Eve. Right? Serpent came. They were tempted. God said, eat of anything but this one. Serpent said, surely you can eat from that because you'll be like God. That was the temptation. It wasn't hey, this looks really delicious and looks like something to be good. It was the temptation was, if you eat this, you will be like God. And so from that point, sin entered in, and we inherited that sin nature. But yet, we can't, and I don't know, is Jacob in here this morning? Is he sitting back there with you? Oh, good. He's down there. Good, I can use him without him getting mad at me. I'd have done it anyway if he was here. But one of the statements we've gotten as of late from him as he starts to do, because Jacob, I love him to death. He's got a great heart, but he blows it just like the rest of us sometimes. And it's talking back a lot lately, and that's what we're dealing with. So if you've got any recommendations, I'll be at the middle door after the service. Come and let me know, apart from tossing them over our back fence, which I've gotten pretty close to. But in the midst of talking about some things and in the midst of sitting down when he falls flat on his face, I'm like, Jacob, why did you do that? And we've gotten this line, well, Dad, the devil made me do it. We've gotten that, and then we've gotten well, Dad, you know what? If Adam and Eve hadn't messed up, I wouldn't have done that. And it's when we have to say, hold on, time out. I said, you're right, you're a sinner because it entered in there. But I said, but Jacob Fuchs still made that choice to do that. We inherited a sin nature, but we still willfully choose outright disobedience to the command of God. Isaiah 64:6 says this. It says, for all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. Romans 6:23, Justin mentioned it, right? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the wages of sin. The reason that we gather and what we need to remember when we gather at this table is the reason that we gather at this is because we're sinners. And something had to happen because of that sin. If there was no sin, we would never gather at this table because there would have been no need for a Savior to die on the cross for us. And I could go on and give you passage after passage about sin and the fact that we're sinners, but we've already all raised our hand and agreed we're sinners, right? So we gather at this table, we remember the reason we gather is sin, but the second thing that I want us to see this morning that we need to remember why we gather at this table is the requirement for sin. So there's a reason and then there's a requirement. Genesis 3, I referenced it earlier, chapter 3 verse 21 says this. It says, then the Lord God, this was after Adam and Eve had committed sin. They had eaten of that. And then it says that God came to walk with them in the cool like he did. And it says they went and did what? They ran and hid. Why? And so he called out for them. And finally they came out. And God asked them, why did you hide? And they said, because we were naked and afraid. Well, who told you you were? And so the whole thing unfolds, and then finally the sin enters in, but then there was a requirement based on that, and that's where verse 21 comes in, right? The ground was cursed, man was cursed, the serpent was cursed, woman was cursed, and those things took place, but there was still a requirement, and the requirement was death. Sin, the wages of sin is death. That is the requirement. When you and I miss the mark of God's mark, whether that's one time, whether you sin one time in your life, one little bitty, and there's none of us that do. I'll just preface it by saying there's none of you. No matter how good we think we are, we're not just one sin and that's all we've ever done. It's not just, even if it's the little white lie, we've never committed any of the top 10, any of those things, whatever you want to do, say, it doesn't matter. The standard is perfection. But the requirement for missing the mark is death. The fact that you and I deserve death. Genesis 3:21, so what does God do? The very first death that takes place in Scripture takes place in Genesis 3:21. It says, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and Eve and clothed them. Animals were killed, blood was spilled to cover their sin. It's a foreshadowing to the cross all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. The requirement was death, the shedding of blood. Deuteronomy 27:26 says this. It says, cursed is he who does not confirm the words of the law by doing them. It says, you're cursed. You're done for. Leviticus 17:11 says this. It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of life that makes atonement. And then Hebrews 9:22 says this. And according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So the requirement is death. Shedding of blood. But also when you go back and read in Genesis chapter 3, the final thing, the requirement it brought about was separation. Right? Because they didn't get to stay in the Garden of Eden anymore. What happened? They were taken outside of it, and then God placed an angel to prevent them from returning so that they wouldn't eat from the tree of life and then forever live in that fallen state. Separation. The reason we gather at this table is because we're sinners, because of our sin, because our sin made this table necessary. But we also need to remember the requirement, the fact that our sin requires punishment. Is God loving? Half of you think so. Is God loving?
Yes.
But is God just?
Yes.
So if when we sin, God said, you know what, I just forgive you, but there was never any death, shedding of blood, separation, that would make God a liar. So as we gather at this table, we remember the reason. It's our sin. We remember the requirement. It was death, the shedding of blood. But the final thing, which ought to really get us excited, is this, is we have the reason, we have the requirement, but we have the ransom and the restoration. Because it's us that deserve to be dead because of our sins. It's us that deserve to be separated from God for eternity because of our sin, but God in His great mercy did not leave it so. The answer is simple. Every little kid that doesn't know the answer to whatever the Sunday school teacher says, they always say what? Jesus. The answer, the ransom, the restoration is Jesus. That's what we remember as we come to this table, that we remember the reason that we're sinners. We remember the requirement, it was His dead, the elements, His broken body, His spilt blood. But that was the ransom. That which was meant for us, He took upon Himself. That's the whole point of what we gathered for Easter to celebrate, is the fact that that which was to be accounted to me, Jesus took upon Himself so that I did not have to. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says this. It says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." Colossians 2:14, "Having canceled out our certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." And it's basically legal terms there. It's saying you went to court, and they read the charges against you. You're guilty. They've got you on video. They've got picture. They've got eyewitness account. You're guilty. There's no getting out of it. There's no defense that you have. And Jesus walks in and He takes that and says, "No, that was me. Put it on me. I'll take it." And it's nailed to Him and it's applied to Him and we walk free. Hebrews 7:17-19 says this. It says, "For it is attested to Him, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand there is a setting aside of former commandment because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. And on the other hand there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God." That's the restoration. That's Jesus. Jesus is the restoration of God for us. That which was the law, that which was God's standard that we can't live up to, condemns us. But Jesus comes in, who is the better way, who restores us, who brings us back as God intended to that relationship. The ransom, the one who was given in our place, was Jesus. The restoration, the one who makes it right how God intended it to be all the way back in Genesis before chapter 3. Which 2 Corinthians, Paul writes about to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, is the ultimate restoration, what he tells and he reminds them. He tells them, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." The old is gone, the new has come. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. You're restored to what you were supposed to be. Does that mean that we're perfect? No. But we're restored, we've been ransomed, we've been bought with what Christ did at Calvary, and now therefore, when God looks at us, He no longer sees our sin, but yet He sees Jesus Christ. He sees us restored to what He intended us to be through Jesus Christ, the perfect one, the ransom. And so as we gather around this table this morning, this is what I want us to do, is to remember. That's the instruction, is that as often as you do this in remembrance of me. We remember why we gather at this table. We remember the reason, our sin. Remember the requirement. It was his broken body and spilt blood. That was the requirement of Scripture. But we remember the ransom and the restoration came through Jesus Christ. You and I, if Jesus hadn't died, would have died and then paid that price, but we'd have spent eternity separated from him. Jesus died and paid that price, but because he was a perfect sacrifice, like Hebrews talked about, there is eternal restoration for us through Jesus Christ. And so as we come and gather at this table, I want us to remember those simple truths, but every time we gather at this table, those are the truths that we should remember. If we don't remember those things, then we're just coming and we're taking bread and we're taking juice and we're losing everything that this table is about. And so before we come to it, Paul gives a little more instructions in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 27, he says this. He says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." What he's dealing with here is, remember the divisions I was telling you in the church because of the rich and the poor, and there's these divisions, and they'd created these divisions, and so they were still continuing to follow through with this, but they'd never dealt with their sin. And it was divisive in the church, and so he says, if you've come and you come and take it in an unworthy manner, you're guilty. He says, but verse 28, look at this. "But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat the bread and drink of the cup. So for he who gets and drinks, eats and drinks judgment to himself, and it does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak, sick, and a number asleep." The church was being killed off by God because they were coming to this table in an unworthy manner. They weren't dealing with their sin. They were pretending everything was okay and never acknowledging their sin. And so what we're going to do right now, Miss Jan's going to come and play, and I want to give us an opportunity before our deacons come, just 2 or 3 minutes. This altar will be open. You don't have to come to this altar, but it'll be open. You can be right where you're at, but I want us to take a few minutes. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to pray. Basically what Psalm 139 says, as Psalmist there says this, "Search me, O God. See if there be anything that's offensive in me." And that's what I want you to pray this month. God, search me. Is there anything in my life that I've not confessed? Is there sin in my life that I haven't dealt with that would make me take of these elements in an unworthy manner? And if so, confess it to God. That might mean some of us need to get up and go to a brother or sister in Christ in here and restore a relationship that's broken, confess something that we've done, but whatever it is, I'm going to ask Miss Jan to play, but I'm just going to ask us if we'll take a few minutes of reflection to make sure we come to this table in a worthy manner this morning. ask our deacons to come forward at this time. with his disciples as they observed that last Passover. Matthew 26, 26 tells us, it says, while they were eating, Jesus took some of the bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And I want us to remember that body, what he's talking about, what we remember. Part of that ransom that was paid for us, that requirement, was the fact that he was beaten, 39 lashes with a cat of nine tails. He was mocked, he was beaten with rods, crown of thorns placed on his head. They broke his body, and he took that on our behalf. So after he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, Brother Justin, would you ask the blessing?
And as we remember the price that was paid for us, and we remember what your Son Jesus Christ went through, we are ever so thankful, Father. And God, I just pray that we understand all that you went through and all that was done because of the love that you have for us. And so as we draw to this table today and as we partake of your body, God, we do it in such a way that brings glory back to your name. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
So he blessed it, they broke it, and then he said, take, eat, this is my body.
Thank you.
said part of that ransom was his broken body, but it was also his spilt blood. As we shared from Hebrews, it was impossible for the forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. There was no remission. There was no covering of sin without blood. So after Jesus had taken the bread and broke it, and it was blessed, and they ate of it, he then took the cup, giving thanks, and he said to them, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." So they took it, and they asked the blessing. Brother John Parsley, will you ask that?
Lord, we love you, and we thank you so much for this special time. Father, we thank you for the giving of your body and the breaking of it. And Lord, we thank you for the shedding of your blood, that our sins will become white as snow. We thank you for shedding it on Calvary. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And after they had taken the cup and it was blessed, he said, "Drink. And after they had broken the bread and taken the drink, it says that they prayed and then they sang. Legit. Come at this time, I told you at the beginning there would be a time for response, and that's what we're going to have at this point. When we hear the truth and we gather around this table and we remember what it was that we're intended to remember, it calls us to response. As children of God, it calls us to a response of repentance. If we have unconfessed sin in our life, if we have ways in which we've fallen short, we need to get back on track. So we hear about this morning, maybe here this morning, and you weren't able to partake of these elements because you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to invite you in a moment, as we're going to stand and sing in just a minute. I'm going to invite you to come forward and just say, "I'll be here, Brother Justin will be here," and just say, "I wasn't able to do that because I don't have that relationship, but I want it." Because we've heard now that we're sinners. We've all admitted it, every person in this place. And unless we've done something about that sin, we've trusted Jesus Christ to take care of it, we've come to Him by grace through faith, then that sin is still on our account. Which means you're still separated from God, which means if you exit this life today, you'll spend eternity separated from Him in a place the Bible calls hell. And I don't say that to be scary, that's just the truth of what the Bible says. Where those, even though they're sinners, they've trusted Jesus to pay for their sin, they'll get to spend eternity in the presence of God in heaven. Maybe you've been here and you've been visiting our church for a while, and God has brought you here and said, this is where I'd have you to be plugged in and be a part. God wants us to be a part of a local body of believers. He established the church. Maybe you'd want to come and join the church. You can do that by coming forward at this time. But whatever God prompts you to do, I pray that you simply respond in obedience to what it is that He tells you to do. So as we stand today, I'm going to pray, and then we will have our invitation. Father, we come at this point, and Father, we're thankful for what you've done for us. Father, we remember the reason that we gather at the table. It was our sin. It brought about death and separation. We know that that was the requirement of sin, the shedding of blood, death. But Father, we know that through Jesus Christ, you took care of that requirement on our behalf. And Father, that's a free gift to anyone in this place. You have offered it freely. You've extended it out. You're offering it here, this gift of relationship, this gift of restoration, this gift of eternal life.